البيان راديو presents an explanation of كتاب التوحيد from صحيح البخاري presented by شيخ محمد دعار.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهداه، أما بعد. My dearly respected brothers and sisters, we continue tonight بإذن الله تعالى with the explanation of Kitab al-Tawheed, the chapter of Tawheed from Sahih al-Bukhari. And we take the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where he said that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I am to my slave as he thinks of me. I am to my slave as he thinks of me. And this hadith, we already spoke about it in the previous chapters, and Imam al-Bukhari has only used this portion of the hadith because it is the proof that Allah Azza wa Jal speaks, since these are the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we know that the words of Allah Azza wa Jal are from His attributes. The words of Allah are from His attributes. The next hadith is also narrated by Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a man who never did any good deed said that if he died, his family should burn him and throw half of his ashes in the earth and the other half in the sea. A man who did not perform any good deeds, he told his family that if I die, to burn my body and throw half of my ashes into the earth and the other half in the sea. He said, for by Allah, if Allah should get hold of him, he would inflict such punishment on him as he would not inflict on anybody among the people. But Allah Azza wa Jal ordered the sea to collect what was in it from his ashes. And he ordered the earth to collect what was in it from his ashes. Then Allah Azza wa Jal said to the man, why did you do so? Meaning, why did you ask your family to do this? So the man replied, for fear of you. For fear of you, and you know it very well, O Allah. The hadith says, so Allah forgave him. So Allah Azza wa Jal forgave him. The apparent meaning of this hadith is that this man was from Bani Israel. And that is why Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah has also mentioned this hadith in the chapter where he speaks about the hadiths of Bani Israel. So this man who performed what he did in this hadith, he was from Bani Israel. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says about this man at the beginning of the hadith that he was a man who did not do any good deeds. He did not perform any good deeds. And what this means is he did not do any good deeds of the limbs. He did not perform any actions from his limbs. But he had the foundation of Iman in his heart. He had the foundation of Iman in his heart. So he is considered to be a believer in Allah, since he did what he did out of fear of Allah, and he believes in paradise and he believes in hellfire. Otherwise, what would have led him to ask his family to do that? Because he feared the punishment. And this was understood from his words when he said to Allah Azza wa Jal, I did so out of fear of you. I did what I did out of fear of you. And he asked for this. Why did he ask his family to burn his body after his death and throw his ashes half in the sea and half on earth. He did that so that he can disappear, thinking that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot gather him and resurrect him. He thought he could have escaped the gathering and the resurrection. So this man, in reality, he was doubting the qudra of Allah Azza wa Jal. Was he not? For him to do that, he's doubting the qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in regathering him. And even though he doubted the qudra of Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala excused him because of his ignorance. Because he did it out of ignorance. And because of his good intention, Allah forgave him. And this is proof, from the strongest of proofs, that the ignorant person can be excused and forgiven by Allah, even if he does something that indicates to kufr. Because doubting Allah's qudra is kufr. It takes a person out of Islam. But because the man did so out of jahala, out of ignorance, he was pardoned and excused by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. These are the words of who? Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. He said, this man doubted the qudra of Allah Azza wa Jal. And he doubted that Allah can resurrect him. He doubted the qudra of Allah Azza wa Jal. And he doubted that Allah Azza wa Jal can resurrect him. Rather, he believed he will not be regathered. The man believed that he cannot be regathered. Shaykhul Islam said, and this is kufr by consensus of the Muslims. This is kufr with no ikhtilaf. Whoever doubts the resurrection, or doubts that they will be resurrected, or doubts that Allah is capable of resurrecting them, has disbelieved. And there's no khilaf on this matter. Shaykhul Islam then said, this is doubt in the qudra of Allah Azza wa Jal and in the return. Rather, he believed he will not return. The man believed he will not return. And that Allah is not capable of returning him if he did this, meaning if he burnt his ashes. Shaykhul Islam said, and yet Allah forgave him. From the biggest proof that a person is still saved if he does something out of ignorance. Allah Azza wa Jal does not hold us accountable for that which we do not know. He says this is the apparent of the hadith which we take. So the apparent meaning of the hadith is that the man has committed kufr, but Allah excused him because of his ignorance. That's the apparent of the hadith. And we cannot interpret it any other way except with a dalil. For it to be interpreted any other way, we require proof. Shaykhul Islam rahimahullah also said this man believed that Allah will not be able to gather him if he did this action. Or he doubted that Allah will resurrect him. And both of these beliefs are kufr, Shaykhul Islam said. He said, and the person disbelieves if the hujjah is placed upon him. The person disbelieves who does this, if we forward the proof to him to show him that this is kufr, and he remains on that, then this is kufr. Shaykhul Islam said, but this man was ignorant, and he did not receive the knowledge to teach him that this is kufr, which will prevent him from this ignorance. And he had iman in Allah, and in his commands, and his prohibitions, and in Allah's promise. So he feared the punishment, and Allah forgave him because of his fear of Allah. This is the apparent meaning of the hadith. And this is how our scholars have interpreted this hadith. So this hadith, it teaches us also, my dear brothers and sisters, that this is not something that happens in the Akhirah. This conversation between Allah and the man, it already happened. What does that teach us? That this man from Bani Israel is one of the examples where Allah resurrected someone back from the dead and spoke to him. And then after Allah asked him the question, and the man answered that he did it out of fear of Allah, and Allah forgave him, Allah then allowed him to die. And Allah does this, and He has done it in the past, in many examples. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala questioning the man is also a proof that we are responsible for what we tell others to do after our death. So that's why we never advise people to do evil after our death. Bilax, if anything, we have to claim innocence from any evil that's done after our death, so that you're not questioned or held accountable for it. And that's the importance, my brothers and sisters, of writing a will in Islam. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, no person who has something that they can leave as a will should stay longer than 3 days without a will. But we are highly encouraged to write wills. Upon our death, I want such and such and such. And this is important. So if we tell people to do things for us after our death, if it is something that is disobedience to Allah, we will be questioned and judged over it. As Allah questioned this man, because he told his family to burn his body after his death and to distribute his ashes. And also the ones who are alive, if someone who is passing away informs them, even if it's his own parents, to do something after their death, which is haram in Islam, we do not obey them. We disobey them. Because there is no obedience to the creation in disobeying the Creator. And you disobeying a person in that state is actually a rahmah for that dead person. Because you're preventing the punishment from going on to him. So we do not obey those who ask us to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the hadith is also proof. Imam al-Bukhari used it in this chapter because once again, it was a conversation between Allah and the man. So it's a proof to show that Allah speaks and that the words of Allah are not restricted to His books only. Allah spoke His books and He speaks whatever He wants to whomever He wants. The next hadith is the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, which is another narration of that same hadith from a different chain. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he said, I heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, a servant commits a sin and then says, oh my Lord, la afwan, this is another hadith. Oh my Lord, I have sinned, please forgive me. Oh my Lord, I have sinned. Please forgive me. And then Allah Azza wa Jal says, my slave has known that he has a Lord who forgives sins and punishes for it. Therefore, I have forgiven my slave his sins. Then the man remains without committing any sin for a while. And then again, he commits another sin. And then he says, oh my Rabb, I have committed another sin, please forgive me. So then Allah Azza wa Jal says, my slave has known that he has a Lord who forgives sins and punishes for it. I therefore have forgiven my slave his sin. Then he remains without committing any other sin for a while. And then he commits another for the third time. And then he says, my Rabb, I have committed another sin, please forgive me. Then Allah again says, my slave has known that he has a Lord who forgives sins and punishes for it. I therefore have forgiven my slave his sin. He can do whatever he likes. This is the hadith. So our servant commits a sin. And this is for all people. Every person who is a servant, who commits a sin, and then they return and repent to Allah, fearing his punishment. This is who the hadith is talking about. And the person is forgiven because he knows that he has a Lord who forgives. And he continues to repent and seek forgiveness whenever he sins. And for that reason, Allah forgives him. Why does Allah continue to forgive this person? Because he continues to repent whenever he sins. So as long as you continue to repent and seek forgiveness, Allah will continue to forgive and accept your repentance. Allah has made this promise. At the end of the third time, Allah Azza wa Jal says he can do whatever he likes. This is not a green light to sin. But what this means is that as long as he continues seeking forgiveness and repents after the sins, he will be forgiven. And this hadith does not mean that the person remains persistent upon sin. It doesn't mean that, wallah, as long as I know if I repent and forgive, I have it in my head that I'm going to continue to sin. Because a sincere repentance and a sincere seeking of forgiveness is when you sincerely make the effort to avoid the sin. Whereas someone, as the ulama have mentioned, who makes istighfar on his tongue, when in his heart he's still adamant on disobeying Allah, this is only an utterance of the tongue. There has to be the azimah, the drive from the heart, that I want to avoid the sin and stay away from it. That is when Allah Azza wa Jal accepts the repentance and the forgiveness. So this is very important, my dear brothers and sisters. Because in order for the tawbah to be nasuh, a sincere repentance, it has three conditions. The first is you stop the sin. The second is that you feel remorseful over the sin. The third is that you have azimah, a drive, a sincere drive, that I'm not going to go back to the sin. If you do that, you've repented sincerely. Even if later on, you end up falling into the sin again. Because Bani Adam is a khatta'. But wallah, for me to say astaghfirullah, but I know in my heart, that sin, I'm going to keep doing it. Here we're cheating ourselves. We're cheating ourselves. So the person must be sincere in wanting to avoid the sin. And as long as you live your life like that, as long as you live your life seeking repentance and forgiveness for your shortcomings, look what Allah says. He can do whatever he wants. Meaning he's on a good path. And bi-idhnillah, Allah will forgive. And when you live like that, Allah will assist you in abandoning the sin completely. So if I sin and then repent and then sin and then repent on the same sin, there's a deficiency in my tawbah. That's the honest truth. There is a deficiency in my repentance because I have to try my best to avoid the sin entirely. And Imam al-Bukhari used this hadith here, as we can see, because Allah is saying these words. My slave knows he has a Lord who forgives and punishes. So I have forgiven my servant. For once again, that is the speech of Allah Azza wa Jal. And that's why Imam al-Bukhari has used this hadith here. Inshallah, next week we will continue with the next hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.
This program was presented by Al-Bayan Radio, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.